Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. You may all be seated. Thank you, worship team. You did an amazing job tonight praising the Lord. Thank you, church, for being here. As I said, I'm very glad to be here, and I pray to the Lord that He might bless me to bring and speak the Word of God, and He might bless you to receive it. The title of my message tonight is going to be Maximize Your Walk with God. Maximize Your Walk with God. I think we can agree on the fact that in 2021, this word maximize has gotten quite important. So people would look up things on the internet like how to maximize your potential, how to maximize your time, how to maximize your tax deductions, how to maximize your profit, how to maximize your iPhone battery life. What would we do without that? And for the boys, how to maximize your closet space, right? Or maybe the other way around, who knows? The world we live in cares a lot about productivity, efficiency. In fact, if you look in your app store, one of the top categories is going to be productivity. And so I thought, since the world we live in puts so much thought in this, since the world we live in cares so much about this, why shouldn't we maximize the thing that matters most, our Christian life? And I'm not the first guy to think that. Actually, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Maximize your opportunities. And so the passage that I read tonight starts with this phrase, with this warning. So be careful how you live your life. Now I want to make an observation here. In order for you to be careful how you live your life, first you need to live, right? Kind of obscure, because we're all alive here, and if someone would stop breathing, it would be kind of quite a chaos, right? Someone starts breathing and stops moving, and well, that would be crazy. But you see, in church we talk about a different life, a life that starts at a certain point, a life that matters a lot. And we were singing about this life. We were talking about that. TJ said the moment when the Lord picks you up and puts you on solid ground. And so I want to ask you tonight, have you had that moment in your life? Have you had that moment when you encountered Jesus Christ? Have you had that moment when you understood that the sin that's in your life is going to lead you to death? Because the penalty of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down on this planet, took on human flesh, and then sacrificed Himself on the cross, died and was risen from the dead so that we may live. Have you had the moment in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because He does not want anyone to be destroyed, says Peter in 2 Peter 3:9, but wants everyone to repent. Have you had that moment in your life? If yes, it's great, because we can build on that tonight. If not, please do not leave this place until you talk to someone more about it. This is crucial and very, very important. So let's build on that, maximize your life. If you want to make the most out of every opportunity, if you want to maximize your walk with God, you will have to prioritize, you will have to be focused, disciplined in living a holy, righteous, and transformed life. You have to prioritize, be focused, and disciplined in living a holy, righteous, and transformed life. Prioritize. As Christians, God, we need to be on the top of our priorities. If that's not the case, then something's very, very wrong. It's kind of like waiting in line for about an hour to be seated at Olive Garden, and then after an hour, after you're finally seated, and the waiter comes and brings you your Toscana soup, he tells you, you know, we're very, very sorry, but we just ran out of garlic breadsticks. But, you know, we do have enough for a second, and if you really want for a third round. Now, as an American, this might be okay for you. As an Austrian, it for sure will, because Austrians, they don't really use bread when they eat their soup. But as a Romanian, that's going to be most probably the point when you'll stand up and leave that place once and for all. Because you see, for Romanians, when they eat, bread on the table is a priority. You know, a time management expert was once teaching a seminar for executives, and he placed a large, clear bowl in front of his audience, and he started putting large stones in there until the jar was full. And he asked the audience, the group that was there, "Is the jar full?" And they said, "Yes." So then he picked up some marbles and put them in there, and the marbles got in between the stones, and he filled all the way to the rim and said, is the jar full? And at that point, they didn't say anything anymore because they wanted to see where he's going with that. So then he took sand and filled the jar. Is the jar full? Some nodded at that point, but then he came and put water into the jar until the jar was full. So he asked, "What's the lesson?" And someone said, "Well, the lesson is that it doesn't matter how busy you are, there's always space for more in your schedule. You can always fit more in your schedule." And the expert said, "No. The lesson is, if you do not put in the large rocks first, they won't fit in the jar anymore. If you do not put God first in your life, I'm very afraid that is not gonna fit in there anymore." Because you see, the thing with God is he wants to be first. He needs to be first. And if God is in your life, then there's gonna be space for family, there's gonna be space for community, there's gonna be space for your job, there's gonna be space for friends. But if God is not in there, you might have a family, you might have friends, you might have a community, you might have a great job, but where is that going to lead you? In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, the word of God says, "Vast crowds came to hear Jesus preach and to be healed of their diseases, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." Large crowds want to hear Jesus preach, and they're sick, they want to be healed. But Jesus decides to withdraw to the wilderness for prayer. Why? Because to Jesus, his connection to his Father, his relationship with the Father, was his highest priority. In fact, in John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Praise the Lord. The Father was for Jesus his highest priority, the relationship with the Father. Now, in contrast, if we look at the Samaritan woman, this passage in John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he was tired. The Bible specifies that he was tired. And so his disciples, they went to the city to get something to eat. Now, meanwhile, he was talking to this Samaritan woman. And so as the conversation is going to an end, the disciples are coming. Jesus is not stopping there and says to the woman, you know, let's just give it a break real quick. My lunch is coming right now. And he was tired, you know. And who knows what his disciples brought him. I like to think that it was some really great baked salmon or like a medium well or medium rare filet mignon or something. I don't know what they brought him. I just don't like to think it was a five-day-old sandwich, because if you get the chance to bring Jesus something to eat, it must be something good. I would go all in, you know, the best restaurant or something. So he was hungry. They brought most probably something good. But Jesus decides to wait. And then the woman leaves to the town, right? And that would have been a good opportunity to have a lunch break at that point, you know. But Jesus doesn't want to eat. He's still waiting. And it took a little bit of time, I suppose, until those people started coming from the town. And his disciples already start asking themselves questions. Who brought this guy something to eat? Who brought Jesus something to eat? And then Jesus says to them, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. In other words, there is something more important than my personal needs. Yes, I'm hungry. Yes, I'm tired. But the work of the Father is more important. I need to finish this work. Then there's going to be time for me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Praise the Lord. Two. Be focused. It's funny that very successful business people, business magnates, sharks, will tell you and teach you, be focused so you can invent something to create even more distraction in this world, right? Because of a lot of that stuff that's invented sometimes is not really stuff that we need. But it's stuff that people buy with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's a huge blessing to be focused on the thing that matters most, on the truly valuable matters of life. It's an immense blessing to keep thinking every day, Lord, how can I be of value to you? As Noah said so beautifully before, I asked myself, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Wake up and have this thought in your mind. Lord, what can I do for your kingdom? How can I touch a life? How can I inspire a person? How can I lift up a friend? When can I pray for a stranger? Give me the opportunity so I can provide for someone in need. Raise my children in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Be an example in society in the way I think, in the way I talk, in the way I act. And if opportunity doesn't knock, then build a door, someone said once. But opportunities are there, you know, because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do. And listen to that. The good things he planned for us long ago. Long ago, God planned amazing things, amazing opportunities for you to do. Are you ready to maximize your walk with God? Are you ready to do the most out of every opportunity God gives you? Now, what does it take to live a holy life? What does it take to be continually transformed or to continually clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Romans 13 and verse 14? Well, it definitely takes discipline. It definitely takes love. It definitely takes faith. It definitely takes obedience. Well, what does it take? It takes the willingness to make the best decision, the willingness to make the right decision. Our life is filled with those decisions, small decisions every single day. Are we ready? Are we living in close proximity to the Holy Spirit so we hear His voice and so we do what God wants us to do? Are we willing to make the right decisions? You know, guys, let me be honest with you. I really like gelato paradiso, pizza. I like tagliatelle alfredo con scampi. I like burrito mojado. I like medium well Kobe beef burgers and stuff like that. And when it comes to drinks, I like Coke. I like Red Bull and that stuff. But if I want to live a healthy life, if I want to live a healthy life, Mr. Broccoli and Mrs. Kale is going to be my best friends. And I'm going to drink a lot of water, right? You know, the truth is that in our Christian life, the question very often is not, is it okay? Is it bad? Is it a sin? If I'm going to spend now 2 hours on Instagram every day, or if I'm going to start dating at that certain age, or if I'm going to use a lot of my free time to watch movies and TV shows, and if I'm going to, all kinds of things you might be thinking. It's more like, how much of your time, how much of yourself, how much are you truly willing to give to God? How much of your life are you willing to give to the Lord? How healthy do you want to be? Just want to be somewhere in there, you know, not dying of certain diseases, but then also, doesn't matter, don't need to be that healthy? Or do you want to say, no, for Jesus Christ, I want to be as healthy as possible. I want to do as much as possible. I want to give Him the most I could, make the most of every opportunity. The more you will choose God, the more you will see God in your life. The more power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit you'll see in your life. The more you choose God, the more you will see Him in your life. And then 3, be ready to sacrifice. Now, when we talk about sacrifice, we talk about blood. And Israel was continually reminded of that. And there was a purpose for that, right? Sacrifice is not easy, but it's part of the Christian life. Especially then when you want to maximize your walk with God, when you want to make the most out of every opportunity. And so it's a battle. It's a battle that you need to fight. And so I'm asking, who are your enemies? And obviously, one of our enemies is the devil, right? Because he's constantly in our way. He doesn't really like us much. He doesn't like us at all. He doesn't even like his own people. Look what happens to them. How much do you think he's going to like you? He's going to do everything possible to destroy you. But you have another enemy. An enemy that I think is even more dangerous. And that's you. Yourself. The sinful nature in you. The sinful nature that you need to fight against. That's why the Word of God comes in Romans chapter 12 and says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Let this passage sink in your life. Try to understand what God wants to say here through the Apostle Paul. Bringing your bodies as a living sacrifice How often? In chapter 13, he comes and gives this and talks about the clothing, as I mentioned. So kind of we understand that this is a process that needs to happen daily. That means that there is stuff that daily, every single day, more often during the day, comes to your head, things that you'd like to do, things that seem good, pleasing to the eye. And the Lord says, bring yourself as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is not easy. This is difficult. A decision that you don't make just one day in your life, but that you have to constantly, constantly, constantly make. It's a process in your life. And so sometimes these decisions you will have to make are not always easy. It's not like always like, okay, well, I could spend now an hour with my kids teaching them about Jesus, or I could spend an hour looking at an auto trader for an hour that I can for a car that I cannot afford. It's not always simple stuff like that. It's sometimes things that are difficult. Sometimes things will cost you. Choosing God will be difficult. It will be a sacrifice. You know, people sometimes lost their jobs for choosing God. People sometimes lost their social status. They lost their fame. They lost their families. People said, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And then their family said, okay, then you can go out of our house right now. You're not our child anymore. We don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. This is an immense sacrifice. People sometimes lost their lives for choosing God. So what's our attitude when it comes to those things? See, as Christians, very often we think, well, when worse comes to worse, then hopefully through the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to endure and make the right decisions. And it sounds great in theory. The thing is that if you're not used to daily or, you know, regularly sacrifice, then I think it's going to be super difficult when you have a decision, a huge decision like that in front of you. Not that it would be your strength that will let you go through it. It's always the Holy Spirit. It's always God who gives you the power. But you can train yourself. You can train yourself by regularly going out of your comfort zone and do something for God. Constantly think, Lord, how can I be pleasing to you? What can I do today? What opportunities do you have for me ahead of me today? Open my eyes so I may see what I can do for your kingdom. And look back and see, how much did it cost me to do this? How much sacrifice was necessary? And what you're going to learn is to trust more and more in Jesus. And the more you walk with Him, the more you trust Him. And then there's going to be those huge waves, and you're going to step on the water because you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will hold you up, who has the power to do it. In conclusion, let's take a real example, a practical example. Although I do hope that this message so far was very practical, because that was my desire. I didn't mention it in the beginning. It was my desire, it is my desire. Practical example. Let's take a look at someone who really wanted to maximize his walk in the will of the Father, to make the most out of every single opportunity, and that is Jesus Christ. If we look in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, the Word of God says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. What news? The news about his cousin, John the Baptist, who was killed. This is terrible news. It's bad when your cousin gets killed by this horrible King Herod. And so we have these emotions, you know, when your relative dies. And a lot of us went through stuff like that, and it's difficult. But I want to make you understand a different level that I see here. Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. Now, thinking about Jesus being God, we understand that Jesus called John the Baptist into being. As we are his children, John the Baptist was his child. Now, when you look at your child, and you have such a good kid who obeys you every single day, who loves you so much, and with every inch of his life wants to be pleasing, wants to do the right thing, as John the Baptist did, and he's killed. This must be terrible news. This must be terrible news. So I totally understand that Jesus wanted to be alone. Immediately, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. It makes sense. He had to process this grief. He had to process this sorrow, this loss. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And now look in verse 14 what the word says. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now this is something that, humanly speaking, I cannot comprehend. From a human perspective, this doesn't make sense. In such a difficult moment like this, the thing you want to truly think about is, I want to process this. I want to just be alone. Crowds are following. A lot of people are sick. But at that moment, emotionally speaking, he wanted to be alone. You had moments in your life when you were sad, when terrible things happened to you, and you just said, you know what? I want to be alone right now. I want to give me some time. But because he loved God so much, because he loved his Father so much, he had compassion. How can you have compassion in moments like these? Only if you're willing to sacrifice. Only if God, the Father, is the top of your priorities. So he healed their sick. The passage continues and it says, that evening the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. Even the disciples already were like, you know, Jesus, Rabbi, it's late. It's again overtime. Just send those people home. I mean, at that point, considering what Jesus was going through, you know, it would make sense to say, yeah, okay, just send them home. But Jesus didn't stop there. He's like, no, that isn't necessary. You feed them. You feed them. That isn't necessary. Jesus didn't stop there. He already did so much. Multitudes of people, you know, there were 5,000 men. He healed their sick. I don't know how many sick people there were. That by itself must have been exhausting. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. And isn't it interesting that very often in moments that you're going through very difficult times, God uses you in amazing ways. One of the greatest miracles Jesus ever did happened in that moment when multitudes of people were fed and the disciples got to learn something very important. I think the disciples never forgot that. Actually, there's a certain point they remembered what Jesus has done. Going through super difficult times, when emotionally speaking, you want to have a break, you want to be alone, but then the Holy Spirit talks to your heart and says, I want to use you now. But Lord, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you want to solve my problem first? And then I'll serve you. And the Lord says, serve me now. Obey me now. Do the work that I want you to do now. And I'll take care of you. I will bless you. I will listen to your problem. I will solve your problem, but obey me now. Do you want to make the most out of every opportunity? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been going through lately. I don't know how your life has been going so far. I know it was definitely a difficult year. And it is in difficulty where we find the greatest opportunity sometimes. But maybe tonight, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, moved your heart, and you realize that you want to do more for God. If that's the case, I invite you to stand. And all of you may stand. And I pray to the Lord that this night becomes a cornerstone for your life. A night in which you say, Lord, I want to give my life totally to you. And if it's the first time you hear the gospel of God, the gospel and the beautiful word of God of salvation, I want to just tell you this, do not hesitate. Taste and see how good, how awesome, how powerful our Lord Jesus Christ is and His Word. God loves you so much. He knows you by name. Before your parents even thought what name they're gonna give you, the Lord knew your name. He calls the stars by name. He loves you so, so much. He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me. How do you want to respond to that? Knowing that you serve a perfect and amazing God, how do you want to respond to that? Lord, that's great what you did for me, but you know, if everything works out with my schedule, I'm going to serve you. Or Lord, please give me the wisdom and the power to do everything I can for your kingdom, because I know that the time is not going to be long. I actually do not even know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. I do not know if I'm going to get another chance tomorrow. But I want to serve you tonight. I want to do your will tonight. I want to follow you tonight. If that's your attitude, may God bless you. May God bless you so you see His goodness and His grace. Let's come before Him, let's pray, and let's worship Him.
Nothing. So let it rise like incense, my horn.
Christ, please make those words be reality in my life. Please make those words be reality in our church. Lord, you are an amazing God. You loved us so, so much. Please give us the wisdom and the power to respond to your grace, to respond to your love, and truly give you everything we have. All our time, all we own is for you, Jesus Christ. Please make these words reality in our lives. And so the world around us, the nations around us, will see that you are our God and you are all-powerful, almighty, all-loving, and so gracious and merciful. Oh Lord, bless Emmanuel Church. So we see your truth. So we follow your truth. So we follow you every single day of our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And we know we cannot do it without you. We cannot do it with the power of your Holy Spirit. With you in us, we could change the world. Without you, we can't do anything. Lord, we want you in our lives.